This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
These teams and these players, I feel pretty good about the haul they came away with. How about you, Malzi?
I you heard me muttering there, my dread.
What was the mutter noise that you made? Why? Because you're afraid now because I like the draft. It's going to be one of the worst drafts in Steelers history. One of those jinx steals.
No, you know I like to make fun of you about that, but you know I don't actually believe that. It's because I have a bad feeling this is going to be one of those dreaded segments where we all have the same grade. I also had a B+ on their
draft. Donnie, did you have a B+?
I had a B.
Okay.
Okay, Donnie, the most...
Okay, I had a B+.
Cynical about it. Most critical about it.
So, I like a couple of things. I like the Harmon pick. You guys both knew. Me and Donnie were like all in on that pick. We thought it was a great one. I've since heard more and more people like Nate Tice, Mike Tice's kid, who does a ton of film work. He's basically a 9-to-5 film guy. That's
emailed him. He never got back to me.
He's on my favorite golf podcast, so I'll try to get him on the show.
I thought your favorite golf podcast was Going Low.
Well,
with you
going
and Logan
low is
Mankins.
A show is. No, Craig Mankins.
Craig Mankins.
No, that's a show. Podcast is different. It doesn't.
But the show
have a
gets podcasted, so gets can podcasted, it also count as a podcast?
My favorite golf radio show is the one I do. Okay. My favorite golf podcast is a separate thing.
Gotcha.
Anyway, thank you for the Logan Mankins. You're clearly a devoted Going Low listener.
Well, he was in late edition, Mankins.
He did his maiden voyage last week.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm kind of onto it.
You're kind of onto a lot of things, yes. I give it a B+ for a couple of different reasons. I think they got tremendous value on Sawyer in the fourth round. He's not a need, but he looks like he's going to be a steal just on college production, size, everything else. People have compared him to Watt, probably because they're lazy and just do the white guy edge rusher.
Mm-hmm.
To me, he fits more like, he looks more like Highsmith in terms of being sort of a strong bull rush kind of guy. Like, I just think of play style, like Highsmith's a monster against the run and setting the edge. Y.A. Black, which for anybody listening right now who cannot make heads or tails of that name, think of Y.A. Tittle, the famous bloody black and white photograph. Y.A. Tittle, Y.A. Black. There is your cheat code.
And he's way bigger than Casey Hampton.
He's a massive human being.
Man, Ryan Wilson hated his college tape and thought his Senior Bowl was brutal.
He thought it was terrible.
We'll talk to him tomorrow about that.
That's the pick that I'm of like, because like Carson Bruner and Dante Kent.
Of the rhetoric, you didn't like it because of Ryan Wilson's.
No. I'm saying that's the pick that I have the most questions about.
Which one?
Black.
So
yes.
Black's your least favorite pick.
Yes, I would give him like the C grade probably because, and I'll tell you why that's higher than maybe you might think for my worst pick in a second. Dante Kent, our guy Derek Bell, Operation Shutdown, who had to, by the way, go on Twitter and ask what that joke was. He was not familiar with, which kind of bummed
me
out.
Come on, Derek.
I know. He was like ultra hyped about Kent. Now, he's a film nerd. And
I gave Kent an F.
He loves watching this stuff. He's excited because he thinks they drafted a pure slot corner.
Like I gave Kent an F.
Okay, I did not. Because am I going to sit here and tell you that Central Michigan, I've been crunching the tape on Dante Kent?
No.
Anyway.
But that's because I wanted a wide receiver there because they didn't take one in this draft. And most of the people besides Derek that I saw had him as an undrafted guy. And all the highlights I saw were basically special teams plays. That's why I thought that was just a throwaway
special
pick.
Special teams is a third of the game, Pony.
Oh, no doubt.
Anyway.
Actually, that's a lie. It's not one. What do you think it actually is these days? I'd say like
20%. Like maybe 1/5. I mean, think about how good Boswell and guys like that are.
By the way, just as a quick aside to that.
Oh, more
aside. What is Sauls doing? Why would you sign here? This is the last place I'd go. The guy's one of the great kickers in Pitt history. He's not beaten. Did Boswell contemplate retirement? I mean, it's like as an undrafted guy.
Is Boswell going to become an amputee for some reason?
That's what I mean. Like if I'm in his shoes and his agent, I'm trying to get him to a camp where they've got kind of unsettled kicker situation.
Why didn't the Ravens just draft him instead of whoever they did draft?
Or just draft somebody else and then pick Sauls up after the draft?
Sauls is a beast. I don't know.
This is like the one place where we know he can't make the team. How many NFL teams have like elite kickers?
Well, they give it here. Dallas here's the only does. Thing I can think of. Here's the only thing I can think of. Is it a situation where the Steelers are going to give Boswell very little work because they know what he's all about and give Sauls a chance to like shine in the preseason?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, that would be my thing. Latch on with a team
who, not a bad point.
Who invariably has their kicker blow up in the preseason. And
so who was your favorite pick then?
Favorite pick on based on strictly on value and how I think they'll be is actually Sawyer. Sawyer then Harmon. Here's what I just liked, broadly speaking, and this is why I gave it a B+. The NFL is a trends league. And I think for too long, the Steelers have appeared to be a team very behind trends. Mm-hmm. Everybody's defenses are getting smaller now, which means you've seen the resurgence of the running game come back. That's why there were like 11 running backs in most people's top 100, like a lot of really well-regarded backs.
Yep.
It's also why I think trench fortification, trying to get big and strong on both lines, this was the defensive line this year, I think is starting to account for the NFL's curve back towards, we're going to line up with a bunch of big dudes and maul you. And then if you're going to try to line up against us and do the same, we're going to make sure that we have guys who can stop your big guys. So I think they've shown like a possible little bit of a possibility that they're ahead of the curve here.
I also think maybe they're doing the Howie Roseman, Georgia wins all the time, so let's just take their players.
With Ohio State.
Yeah, why not?
I don't think that's bad.
I love both of those picks. I have Sawyer and Howard both down as A's. If I had to pick one that's my favorite, I'll say Howard because I agree with what Dustin Fox said when he called up late and then was rude to me. I think there's a chance he ends up being their starting quarterback. It's not particularly high, but I think the like the bones of a house that needs some fixing up, I think the bones are good there. Good bone. I mean, I think there's some good bone there. What? There is.
Couldn't think of any other way you wanted to say that, huh?
I mean, Donnie went on TV like he was friggin'...
This draft is pornographic. There's so much good
like
bone
he was
there,
a hairy,
huh?
Like he was a hairy Nostradamus and said that this was the move...
Nostradamus?
Why, isn't Nostradamus...
I mean, very goateed. Predicted the day of his own death, too, which is kind of wild.
But he said that Howard was the right move, that was what the Steelers should do in this draft. So I'm guessing that was your favorite pick, Donnie?
One of them. I believe it or not, might actually go with Caleb Johnson, given where they got him, because I know that it immediately got some scares from you guys, like, oh, man, not really any faster than Najee Harris. He is a little bit. The 40 time was definitely better than Najee Harris.
Well, he's 20 pounds lighter. He should run a better 40 time than Najee.
He kind of runs upright like Eric Dickerson ran. There's a little bit of that.
He also fits the offense better. He also actually looks faster when he plays.
He definitely looked more elusive, Donnie. There's that run everybody showed where he catches a swing pass and then makes like a whole team miss. He definitely looked more elusive than Najee.
Yeah, that's
why I thought there were more. Go ahead, Donnie.
I don't always like to get caught up in strict 40 times what a guy can do in a straight line because they don't always look that fast when they play. He looks to me noticeably faster than Najee Harris, who often looked like he was running in a pair of jeans.
I like that.
I think there's people over there. In fact, I know there are that think that he's going to be their starting running back this year.
The problem for
that when it's all said and done, look at strictly rushing attempts in the Steelers offense this year, Johnson will have more than Warren.
Well, the problem is that your guy Tootin went 20 picks later.
I love him.
And
Dylan
then
Sampson went to the Browns, I think, too, who I like.
And then the guy that would have brought the house down was picked at 105 overall, Scataboo. Pombiani might not have been able to function had they taken Scataboo.
Oh, he loved the way Scataboo played. He loved his work ethic. He loved his motor.
I'm not gonna crucify the pick as much as I did when I said it feels like Harris 2.0. I was lockstep with you. I wanted more of a home run hitter.
I gave it a C- that pick.
I gave it a B-. Here's where I'm going to say I probably jumped the gun. I said I liked what I heard about him in pass protection early, that he's a good blocker. You have to be good at that. And then I said, man, the pass catching just seems blasé. I will rescind and retract that statement. He plays for Iowa.
They don't even know
the forward pass. Kirk Ferentz is wishing that you could go back and not have the forward pass. So I think they could have drafted guys that I would have been way more excited about, But again, as I take a broad theme and apply it to this draft, I can't be that mad at them for drafting a guy as a running back who profiles more like a big bully.
Donnie, who was your least favorite pick?
I'm going with Dante Kent. I didn't really see the reason to pick him that late. Not to mention, I felt like when they had an opportunity to take a couple of receivers, like Isaiah Bond was still out there from Texas.
He didn't get picked at all.
Yeah.
How about Io Manor, the guy from Stanford?
Yeah. He fell a
good
pick.
Picked Sawyer instead of him. And listen,
I was fine with that.
I think Sawyer can be really good. I gave him my highest grade, but like that guy was kind of intriguing to me. You know, size wise, a big dude, not a fast guy, but kind of an intriguing player.
Extreme urgency, to be quite honest with you. There's no substitute for young talent. You don't have a chance to fill a quality defense unless you're stout inside and up front. And this is a young guy, man, that has an opportunity to learn from the likes of Cam Hayward and put his hand in that pile and be a significant contributor for us for years to come.
Mike Tomlin, all about the D-line. It hasn't been for years. They really haven't addressed the situation in the draft much. Drafted two defensive linemen, and if you look at Jack Sawyer from Ohio State, he was great against the run at Ohio State, so it's almost like you got three run stuffers here. Not only is it a reaction to the way the Eagles won the Super Bowl, it's obviously a reaction to what happened in the playoff loss to Baltimore, just how wounded and embarrassed this team was by that game. So they went about using the draft to fix that problem, didn't fire coaches, didn't really address in free agency. They did tell Monty Adams goodbye today. They moved on from Monty Adams.
Donnie, is that going to lead your show, by the way, at 6 tonight?
It might usurp the Mike Sullivan news.
Okay, lots of Monty
Steelers
Adams
third
discourse.
Defensive tackle gets cut.
I mean, he's your guy, though. That's why I'm bringing it up.
No, his guy was the dude with the man bun.
Hank Mondu.
Oh, that's right, big Hank Mondu. Yeah, that's
what
true.
Happened to that guy? Where that's is Henry true. Mondu? He's got to be in, like, the UFL, I would guess. Just hanging on.
Just hanging on.
Playing minor league ball for the love of the game.
He has not played in an NFL game. Have we said he looks like just Faribault, kind of?
Yeah, he looks like a nasty boy.
He hasn't played in an NFL game since he was with the Giants in 2022.
412-928-9370. Here is Ryan on the fan. Hello, Ryan. Ryan? Goodbye.
That was a profound call.
Zach is next. Hello, Zach.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man.
Hey, I grade the draft a B, B plus. I like the picks overall. I would have liked to seen a wide receiver picked up. I like the Bolt Howard pick. I like the Caleb Johnson pick. You know, offense is struggling, so hopefully we can pick up a slot receiver or a receiver number two, because who knows what's happening.
Aren't they supposed to have possibly two slot receivers already on the team in the form of Austin and Roman Wilson?
Yeah, but are either one of them good?
Well, yes, that's not a this year's draft problem so much as it is if you go right back to the well, that is an admission that Roman Wilson's a failure and you don't think Calvin Austin's good
enough. They also kept George Pickens, so they
do you give it,
right
hold
now,
on.
Think he's wide receiver, well,
hold on,
too.
Hold on a second. Do you guys, don't we have to, if we're being intellectually honest here, say that if you're looking at their draft and saying, I wish they got a wide receiver, they spent their second-round pick to go get DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
That is a that happened. The draft, in an indirect way, produced DK Metcalf. You can say all you want what you think about Metcalf and whether he's worth the money they paid him. Their second-round pick became DK Metcalf.
I know, but I feel funny about that because that was like saying Minka Fitzpatrick was really the Steelers' first-round pick that year.
But, I mean, in fungible terms, he basically was. Or in like a real-world application of what picks mean and what you use them for.
Thanks, Zach. Let's talk to Ethan next. Hello, Ethan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Hey, I like the draft, man. I think getting Will Howard where we got him, I think he's going to be in time, the best quarterback in this draft. Watching him recover.
Cam Ward went with the first pick. Ethan, are you aware of that?
So wait, you think
quarterback
they,
who went
Ethan,
number one overall?
Ethan, you think they got the best quarterback in the draft at pick 185? Then you should be giving this an A plus 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 plus.
I didn't give my grade yet, Moeller.
Fair
Good
enough.
Point.
Hey,
that's right.
So,
put him in his place.
No, I love you guys. Hey, so I was at a B plus. I'll be honest. And then when I realized it was Jack Sawyer, if you remember, when Michigan was trying to plant the flag. That was him who disrupted that.
Oh, and yeah. That,
my friends, was the pubic hair that got me from a B-plus to an A-plus. Have a great
Thank
day.
You. We'll put you on hold, Ethan. You might win the tickets. That keeps you alive. that comment right there to see Pearl Jam.
It's just naked pandering to you when he makes
I said he might,
reference.
He might win. He thinks Will Howard is going to be the best quarterback in this draft. I'll tell you who won't be, Shadur, because I just don't think the Browns are going to be able to navigate correctly the messiness that comes with that situation, given all the quarterbacks on their depth chart.
Just point of order here, just to play devil's advocate.
Yes.
Do you think Joe Flacco is like an overwhelmingly all-time great quarterback?
No.
But
I do
not. Went in there with Stefanski's basic offensive principles in mind and played really well to get them.
But that was because they were left no choice. They had to play him because of what had happened to the rest
of their
quarterbacks.
I understand, but he's not like a perfect turnkey player, even in his late 30s with all the accrued knowledge, and he still went there and
yes,
played
but
well.
They didn't have to develop Joe Flacco because he was 38 years old. They have to develop Shadur Sanders into a good quarterback.
See, I think he's the type of guy that would have a better chance of succeeding there than, say, Will Howard, because I think he's closer to what he's going to be in the NFL, and there's going to be tweaks here and there, and otherwise that's what you're going to get. I think like them trying to take a lump of clay and mold it is a different story.
I'm not sure Howard is as clay-like as you think. I thought he would have been that before the playoffs, but in the playoffs he turned into a different
He's got
Will
better
Howard.
Physical tools than Shadur, which I think nobody argues. Better prototypical size, better arm, definitely a better athlete. Why did he last, 41 picks longer than Shadur did? Who's a lower ceiling guy for sure.
Because the Browns owner forced that pick, you said.
So you think if Haslam doesn't pick him, does Shadur go undrafted?
Ooh, no, I don't think so.
What if somebody had just made him Mr. Irrelevant just to see that you want to talk about a chip on somebody's shoulder? I'd rather be an undrafted free agent at that point. I think most guys would.
Here is Rich next. Hello, Rich.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. What I'm looking to out of this draft, or the Steelers draft, is a draft that restores my confidence in the Steelers' ability to draft. I like the fact that they gave away or traded the second-round pick to get DK Metcalf because I don't have faith in their drafting abilities anymore. I used to be a guy that used to sit with a newspaper, and cross off who got drafted off the boards and who the Steelers were going to get. Now, this last week, I didn't even bother watching a draft. I just caught it on Twitter or whatever feed
I
had.
They drafted a guy like Zach Frazier last year. He came in and was pretty much money in the bank from moment one.
Yeah, but their third-round pick barely played, and the coach made it sound like, from a football IQ standpoint, he couldn't get on the field.
Well, I think the coach likes to do a little self-serving stuff with that moving train nonsense.
I think it's a fabulous observation by him overall.
Fabulous?
I do. Yes, I do.
And that's what I mean. And I need
thank you, Rich. We're going to let you go here.
They drafted essentially 2.5 starters from the guys that were healthy in their first 5 picks last year. Frazier's a starter. Peyton Wilson's starter. And McCormick's a starting guard.
If they draft so well, why don't they win more?
Because they don't have a quarterback.
So that's the only thing they don't do well is find a quarterback. Everything else, the way they brought along Broderick Jones, taking Kenny Pickett, taking
they
Najee
drafted
Harris.
The right player in that case. It's their development that sucked, and then
we don't
you just
know that
cited
yet.
It. They draft. No, they did. Trust me.
We don't know that yet.
I actually consulted Barber Football Focus and got them to give Jones a kind of quasi-Ohio State designation.
I think his point of just rubber stamping the Steelers draft and saying it's a good draft because the Steelers think these are good players. They have not earned that lately.
Then why'd you give him a B+?
Why did I give him a B+? Because independent in a vacuum, I liked the moves that they made. But I think overall, like just, you know, having basically blind optimism or faith in what the Steelers do in the draft is fair. Only one out of their last 10 first round picks have gotten a second contract.
No, I don't rubber stamp them. I think that Harmon's going to be the guy who makes it, 2 out of 11, I guess it'll be. I think he's going to get 2 contracts here. I more am tying my actual optimism about this draft to it being sort of the second straight, maybe the third straight year if you want to really get technical, where they have shown a steady philosophy. So from the very first con draft, I think their philosophy has changed. It's been influenced a lot by Weidel.
Yep, I agree with that.
And I do like that they are staying true to what seems like a set of steady principles, because I think what happened in the later years of Colbert was them starting to throw
no doubt
darts at the wall.
I agree with that, but here's the thing. It's easy for us to come on the air here and say, oh, we like all these players because look at where Daniel Jeremiah and Dane Brugler and these guys had these players rated. They got value on all them. And so I am freely admitting that I I fall victim to that. The one draft that this collective, this triumvirate of Tomlin, Kahn, and Weidel presided over, the first one, the one where we've had 2 years of data to observe, their first round pick and their second round pick in year two took steps backward. So I can't just.
Are you saying Benton there, not Porter?
No, yes.
Benton.
Actually, you could say all three. I thought all three went into this past year with big expectations, and I don't think any of them lived up to it.
I would concede that this is a massive year and probably the year, the line of demarcation year for that draft. I mean, they have one player that I would say from that draft right now has been healthy enough and enough of a difference maker for you to feel great.
How much can we pretend like we like Keanu Benton when we're all saying at the same time they needed to fortify their defensive line? And we ain't talking about Cam Hayward slowing down. So dudes up front had to depress us or not live up to expectations. One of them.
Part of the explanation for the Harmon pick is people think it's going to make Benton better.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have to say that about a guy that you picked in the second round. Like he needs the first round pick to turn him into a good player.
The other thing it gives me great pause. I make all these Eagles comps because of Weidel's connections to Roseman and because they're the current gold standard. They also have top to bottom better coaches. And I'm not just talking head coach or whatever. Like Sirianni's kind of a cartoon character at times. I'm saying assistant coaches, player development. It seems to be a well-oiled machine there. And that's one thing which is like adjacent to the draft that I don't feel great about.
And I'm going to say something about Will Howard. I do see some Jalen Hurts qualities in him.
By the end of the show, from you, from Johnny the Barber, maybe from somebody else, I'd like us to get a Jalen Hurts, Ben Roethlisberger, and then let's try to make him into, who's a quarterback who's nothing like either of those two but was good? Joe Montana, a smaller guy.
I mean, if Lewis Riddick can make millions of dollars going on TV and saying Sanders has Tom Brady and Drew Brees tendencies, I don't think I'm out of my or getting over my skis.
Yeah, let's go. What are we doing here with that?
Peyton Manning,
yes.
I think I'm going to come up with the best three. It's Hurts. Will Howard is a combo of Hurts, Roethlisberger,
and Josh Allen.
Just for the hell of it, we're going to throw in Tua.
Because Gruden said, man, you're Josh Allen.
Hey, man. You remind me of that Allen guy.
Donnie, did you watch the Gruden thing?
I did.
How did you not watch? Did you not get fired up from Howard after watching that?
Yeah, my only thing with that, I think I told Chris earlier, that he's going to gas all of those guys up. I mean, that's kind of the job of those sit-downs and those whole videos. So you come out of that thinking, man, this guy's going to be a superstar.
Join Adam Crowley and True Fan Travel on a once-in-a-lifetime adventure to Ireland when the Black and Gold play across the pond this fall. 5 nights in Dublin. Includes tours of Guinness and Jameson, pregame tailgate party, game tickets, and more. Hotel with air or land-only packages are available. For information on how you can take over Ireland with Crowley, go to 937thefan.com. That music means it's time for a Donnie Football Debrief. His biggest football story of the day, and is brought to you by Saloni's, Italian bread company, over 100 years of baking experience. Don?
The debrief, April 28, 2025. Figured we could jump on three little nuggets that came out of draft weekend and today. So I'll just go over all three. We could start with whichever one you guys want to go with. First, Dino Tomlin. You guys mentioned him for a second earlier. He does have an NFL home for now. He will get invited to training camp with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so there is a Tomlin connection there. Ryan Watts, one of the Steelers' final draft picks of 2024, he was let go today, and it looks like he is just going to retire from football. The medical clearance on him, not a good one, or at least the news on that, not good.
Always a bummer when I hear stuff like that. Like a guy that young, basically getting the advice of you need to be done.
And then one of the other top stories today, the Steelers cutting Monty Adams to open up some space on that defensive line. So wherever you guys want to start.
Tony, where would you like to start?
Sorry, I was distracted by watching our guy Mel Kiper go through his draft.
Donnie, I apologize on behalf of the two of us out here. Pony was staring out into space the way he does when I'm trying to say something to him before the show, and we both know he's not listening whatsoever.
No, I heard all those things. Ryan Watts, mm-hmm. Dino Tomlin, mm-hmm. and the last one was Monty Adams, right?
Now, what didn't you hear, which was, Pony, where would you like to start?
I am not surprised that Dino Tomlin isn't here because Tomlin doesn't want nepotism. He doesn't want people to claim that the only reason why his son is in camp is because of favoritism. He's like the opposite of, I think, Deion Sanders when it comes to that stuff. The Watts thing is, I mean, that preseason play, it looked bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looked like it was a situation where, you know, initially, like, really, really bad. Like, when he walked off the field, I was surprised with help. I thought that I thought in that moment that we were watching something that was horribly sad and devastating to that guy's football career. And truth be told, that's what happened. I mean, I don't think, like, it's not going to be one of these all-time what-ifs because he was a seventh-round pick, but you still hate to see someone cut down at that point in their life and career.
And finally, Monty Adams, your take.
You know, I think it'll be interesting how much they work this guy from Iowa into the rotation. You know, is it going to be a situation where he's so big and they like him as a run defender so much that even though he's a specialty player and a late round pick, he gets meaningful snaps against, say, like the Ravens because they have Derrick Henry? And in those situations, what happens? I guess, does Benton just come off the field altogether? Or does Benton move to the other defensive end spot? And if you're doing that, that means you're taking Derek Harmon off the field. So there is some intrigue as far as the, like,
they're just going to put
potatoes of football on their defensive line.
They're going to put four big hosses on the field. They're just going to go with their four biggest hosses and let the linebackers do their thing.
Donnie, is this guy, is this Wyatt Black, is he bigger than McCullers? Like, where is he on the scale of biggest nose tackles they've had? Because he's taller than Hampton, and he's heavier than Hampton.
6'5", 317 is what he's listed at.
Yeah, so McCullers was 6'7", 350.
McCullers, they called him Mount McCullers for a reason, man. He was a gigantic human being. God.
And the second he got drafted, somebody who had watched him at Tennessee had told me, this guy basically is like a gentle soul and really does not have, like, the hard wire in him to be, like, a destructive football player. But if you could ever, like, channel that and motivate him,
you'd have a force to be reckoned with.
You'd potentially have a great
player. Now, Starkey would always say guys with that nice of a reputation, I think it was projection by Joe, he would always insist that there was a wellspring of rage that you could not possibly understand the depths of beneath every nice person. So, like, for example, mm-hmm. Russell Wilson, Joe would tell you that somewhere deep inside Russell Wilson is possibly the angriest man on the planet.
So Pompeiani's nice to everybody. Joe thinks somewhere in there there's like a deep-seated rage and
I
anger.
Think so. But then, like, but then the weird inverse was he also loves to call out. He did this to me. He would say, now there's Malzy. There's a hard, tough exterior, a grumpy exterior, but underneath that is a softy.
Yeah, he did that with Cook, too.
Right, yep. Right. He'd go, Ron is a very, you know, he's a tough guy to get to know, but once you do, you realize he's an old softy. So Joe just, I guess, likes to do appearances aren't what they really are. Walker, the kid from Kentucky, is the guy I was thinking of. We were just talking about mountainous human beings. Mm-hmm. Something like 360. He's like 6'8", 360.
Just
an enormous individual.
They've got a situation with Wyatt Black and Calvin Austin that reminds me of like those birds who live on hippopotamuses. You know what I'm talking about?
Or like an animal that picks a crocodile's teeth kind of deal.
Yeah, like one of those situations where the big guy is so big and the little guy is so small. It's like,
it's like the start of a weird buddy comedy.
Donnie, like, what's that picture where, like, the big guy's, like, holding the little person's hand? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know the meme. It's like, it's like, they're like two turtles, I thought.
Yeah, that's what you have here with Black and Austin. What's Austin listed at?
Calvin Austin.
5'8",
5'8", I think like 5'8", 180.
Pounds?
I think he's actually like, they
180?
Yeah, hold on. I got to get it. By the way, I'll say this while I'm looking this up. I'm rooting for Dino Tomlin because I think just 5'9", buck 62, yikes. That is not a lot of weight.
Donnie, when was the last time you weighed 162?
Oh, man.
I mean, give him more time with Awaken 180, just all the habits he's learned. He's going to be down there by this time next year.
I'm actually trying to think back to when I weighed 162.
I'm also, obviously, Donnie,
probably
there
like
is
seventh
a
seventh grade.
There's an underweight for everybody, like a weight you should not get to.
That was too low for you.
Thinking about you at 162 as a grown adult, like not a seventh grader, I can't. My brain has a very hard time processing what that would even look like.
How about Fat Crowley? Like, what would you think Fat Crowley was in the 160s?
What is Crowley now? Doesn't he say he's like 140 something? Fat Crowley was probably a buck 70. But on him, it looked like, you know, it might have been 270.
He was slovenly.
Yeah, it looked like 270. He didn't carry it well. Like, I always get told I carry it well when I'm, you know, like 210, 220. Anyway, I am sincerely rooting for Dino Tomlin only because, and I fell victim to this once or twice, he became something of like a guy who would get crapped on by people locally because they were assuming, and not even in a joking way, a very serious way, that Mike was going to bring him along and they were going to give him a roster spot. Like, I hope he goes down there for that team that is already loaded to the gills at wide receiver and makes something of his NFL.
Do you take it all back if he's on the coaching staff in a year or two?
No, because I mean, if he's like essentially the NFL equivalent of a grad assistant, he might be really good at doing all that stuff.